Hello, everyone. Welcome back to High Low with Imrata. If you've checked the calendar or my social media, or honestly, just all of TikTok, Twitter, everything, you will see that we're right in the middle of Fashion Month, which has been interesting this month. As you might imagine, it's like one of the busiest times of the year for me. It's also Sly started school, so I've been really doing it. On Monday, I did a show in the morning, took him to school, did a show, came and picked him up in my hair and makeup from the show, hung out with him for a bit that afternoon, did a meeting during his nap, and then went to another show that was actually at the Natural History Museum. So I brought him for the first hour. So it's just been like kind of crazy. I also went to the VMAs. So yeah, what have I done this week? Let's see. I worked with Victoria's Secret. I had a denim launch with AG. I walked for Tory Burch, Michael Kors. Those were the two shows I did. And then there's just a lot of events, which can be fun and can also not be fun. I like Alex Earle. I feel like I saw her at the US Open and she was like, man, I'm so tired. And like, everyone keeps asking me if I'm having fun. And like, I'm not having fun because I'm just making so much small talk. And it's a weird thing because obviously it's a pretty great way to make a living and I'm not complaining, but it does drain you, your social battery, in a really particular way that I think people sometimes are scared to talk about. So I like that Alex was just upfront. So I go to London tomorrow, but I thought that we would do a fashion related episode. So we've had a lot of really incredible folks from the fashion world on the pod over the past year. We've had designers like Donatella Versace and Marc Jacobs and a few of my fellow models like Winnie Harlow, Paloma El Sasser, Hari Neff, and Ireland Baldwin. So at the end, I'll talk a little bit about some more of my experiences.
Stay tuned for more High Low with Imrata. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Welcome back to High Low with Imrata. Let's start with one of the most iconic first episodes on the High Low archives, legendary Donatella Versace, who came into the studio, brought Versace pillows with her, a cup that Sly loves, a Versace cup. So let's play this.
So you had Naomi, and then when did the culture around shows change and like it started to feel more like a party and a community?
I have to say, really, when it started to change, one with George Michael did the song Freedom and the video with the supermodel. George Michael was friend of Gianni, also me, but more of Gianni. And I think it was a discussion between him and Gianni about to that kind of video. So he called all the girls, Linda, Naomi, and everybody was in the video. And he sent me a Gianni the video before it came out. So when we saw that, it was a show coming up in 1 month. So Gianni told the same girl to go to walk, you know, next to each other and sing Freedom on the runway.
Oh my God.
I think that was the moment, I think.
And you recreated it for the anniversary.
Yes.
That was so powerful and one of my favorite shows.
You know what was great about this girl? We have such a personality. And backstage, we were fighting to have the best dress. You know, we were looking, can I try Claudia dress or can I try Naomi dress? We're all like that. You know, we really want to be at the best. And we want to feel confidence while we're wearing the runway. And I was the one, so yeah, so let's try, let's change, you know, all night. When Jenny was going to bed, I would start again to try clothes.
It sounds like a slumber party.
Absolutely, it was a slumber party every night.
In March, we had Law Roach on, who had just retired. Let's play a clip from Law about fashion shows.
Fashion shows they look really glam, but they can be such a mess.
Yes.
Such a mess. It's like, it looks like 15 seconds before the show starts, it looks like it'll never come together because everyone's just wandering. And, you know, every celebrity brings a person with them or multiple people, and it can be hard to figure out where they sit.
Yeah.
So I have to say, for the record, as a totally normal totally normal thing. Yeah. But I understand in the context of people trying to figure out what
it was crazy. They was like, he left. They didn't have a seat for him. And so he just left the show. And then if you actually watch some of the footage, you're like, I had a bright yellow suit on.
Right.
I was there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's about believing in yourself and being confident in your belief.
My God, I think about, you know, how basic that seems, but how hard it is. And the truth is everyone else is going to doubt you.
Yeah.
So if you don't believe in yourself, especially when you're first starting out anything, then like absolutely no one else will. Mm-hmm. If you don't buy it, even just lie to yourself, you know?
Fake it till you make it. Yeah. That's how me and saying I was a stylist and taking these meetings, I didn't know anything. Zendaya always tell the story. She was like, girl, when you first started working with me, you didn't even have safety pins.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I didn't know anything. I was green. I was literally faking it till I make it. Like, she says that story all the time. She's like, you think you're so successful? She's like, you didn't even have safety pins.
How long have you guys been working together?
We've been working together. So I always say that my career started in 2014 when I moved to LA. Mm. But I was working with Zendaya a couple years prior to that. Like, again, lying, going back and forth.
I love it.
Yeah.
Talk about fake it till you make it.
Yeah, fake it till you make it. So I've been with her for 11 years now.
And now Marc Jacobs, who came on the show back in April. And I love what he has to say about the theater of fashion shows here.
I mean, when we put together a show and we have this runway show, you know, it's to me, it's a 7-minute piece of live theater. You know, like it has all the emotion, it has all the costuming, it has the hair, the makeup, the casting. So what makes it different than a show? It's a show.
Which I think now in this day and age has actually given you a really specific, because the kind of business side of fashion shows has faded, right? With the rise of the internet, with Instagram, you don't need to have it. The necessity of it from a business perspective is different. So it is really about leaning into the performance, which you've done so well. And I feel like you have started this new model that really makes sense, that allows the preservation of this traditional type of fashion show and creative process that, you know, other brands are sort of struggling to find that balance.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if we're lucky or they're lucky, but I mean, there's huge brands that, or I hate to call them brands when they make a luxury product, but I hate to say product when it's luxury, you know, like all those things sound very cheap. But I guess when I think about my experience, like say at Louis Vuitton, you're talking about this storied house that has always made luxury products. And so, and then if you look at Dior or you look at Givenchy or you look at Prada or you look at Bottega, or those brands have like such a deep, deep, deep history of making luxury things. And I think they've all been very wise in getting younger, more interesting designers, more creative designers to do what they need them to do. But I think it's very different when you're not one of those like houses in Europe, you know? So like, it's very atypical, like America or the US doesn't really have luxury brands, you know? And I think other than Ralph Lauren or Michael Kors, you know, we just don't have like, I mean, there's a lot of young designers who are super creative and talented, but you don't have old historic houses like you do in Europe. And he convinced them to hire me. And again, way before Vuitton happened, I ended up like in 37th Street between 8th and 9th Avenue in a studio probably the size of this room with no one. I was alone. I didn't know how to buy fabric. I didn't know how to find a sewer. I didn't know how to find a dress. So I was like, oh my God. But I asked people, sometimes when I'm in a situation where students ask questions, I said, well, the way I did it was I asked people and I wasn't ashamed to not know. I was like, how do you do this? How do you make an appointment with a fabric house? How do you find seamstresses? How do you look for, you know, how do you interview people? I just asked people. I really was shameless. I was like, I don't know how to do this. Tell me how to do it.
I mean, it's so important. I think a lot of the time we posture and then we end up hurting ourselves, right? Especially in those early days.
Yeah.
So then what happened, Marc? Was it an instant success? Was Marc Jacobs a...
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, I got a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
Which for me is bliss. I mean, that's what I want more than anything in life is attention.
Performance.
You know, I want validation and I want to perform. I want people to clap.
Okay, we're going to shift gears to one of the models we had on who I just saw at Victoria's Secret. And we're actually talking about her early experience with VS. This is Winnie Harlow. We had her on in May. So I feel like the VS show for me is one that felt like a huge moment.
Agreed.
That you did. Is that one for you? Yeah,
definitely.
What was that like?
It was so nerve-wracking. You know, so I tried out for VS the year before and I didn't get it. And I remember like my friends being like, what? They didn't want you? Like, that's their loss, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, do you know how many girls try out for VS and like don't get it? Like, I can't feel that I'm that special, that I must get it just because I tried out. You know, like, I'm gonna go work out even more and try out the next year. And thankfully, like, with a positive attitude, I got it the next year, you know, like, just having that thought of dust yourself off and try again, you know, like, it's okay.
I mean,
okay.
That is, like, your theme in some ways, I feel like.
You're not always gonna get everything that you want in life, but, like, you have to be able to be grateful for the things that you do get and then keep pushing. And the right doors will open up for you when the time is right. Mm-hmm. God is always on time. He may not come when you want him, but he is always right on time.
Yeah, right? I mean, and I was just gonna say, like, you have gotten a lot of the things that you initially maybe thought were you wouldn't. So,
right,
it 100%. Is timing is everything for sure. Yeah.
So when I did end up getting it, it was really insane. I not only got two looks my first year ever walking for VS, which is like unheard of. I also got feathers. I didn't get full wings, but
I
like,
remember this. Actually.
I remember them telling me like, you're one of the first people to ever get feathers on their first year, and I was like.
Yeah, because they used to do some of those, like, new girls really dirty.
You have to do, like, pink first yes, or, like, you know.
You wear, like, a t-shirt.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So, like, for my first year ever to be getting feathers, I was like, I'm sorry, what? And then now because I had two looks, I had to do a quick change backstage, which is super iconic. One.
I was going to say it's so fab.
I wish there was a camera in the room for my quick change because the way my legs were trembling. Full of nerves, knowing that like there's a timing, we have to get this right. And like, I'm scared of already falling on the stage or slipping. And there was like, I guess a little steam or something on the stage that was making girls slip a little bit.
So it was like the floor was wet.
Yeah. So we already knew to like be aware. And I wanted to even strut harder. But I was like, the harder you strut, the harder the fall. So take your time. This is your first VS.
That can be so hard.
Don't do too much.
I also talked to Winnie about the skill that modeling requires, which, yes, you might be rolling your eyes, but listen to the clip. No, there's a skill to modeling that people just don't. I feel like you really embody that skill. I mean, there's lots of beautiful women for sure. And, you know, that's amazing. But like, you have to know, like the dancing, knowing your body, like there is so many factors. And it's not, I'm not saying like, oh my God, it's such an important skill to like know how to walk on a runway and not eat shit. If you're a good model, you're a good model.
Yeah, it's definitely not brain surgery, for sure. It's not rocket science, but it isn't just as easy as standing in front of the camera.
No.
Because if that was the case, then anyone could do it, you know? And I feel like that's something that I also hear a lot, like with my skin. A lot of people will be like, oh, I don't know why you guys hype her so much. It's just her skin. I'm like, well, I'm not the only person in the world with my skin. So if that was the case, there would have been prior to me.
This is a clip from Winnie that we actually didn't have in the original episode, never heard before, about manifestation, about goals, and seeing yourself on a billboard.
Yeah, so my Puma collection drops May 1st in store, and I'm really excited. I'm excited to like go in store and actually look at it. That's my favorite thing to
do. That's fun.
When like a magazine cover drops or like a collection drops or something, like just being in store and actually seeing it for yourself.
I know. I used to like get embarrassed about that and whatever. And then 2 days ago, I went with my son and a couple friends and we like went and saw some billboards and then we got some magazines. And I was like,
and the billboards you always wanted. Like,
it was really special.
Oh, so beautiful.
Thank you.
I saw your billboards on the way here too from LA.
Oh, nice.
Was it in the airport? Something in the airport?
I don't know. I like it's something too about being in your city, like that really, like, I'm like, oh, that billboard, I always eat across the street from it and whatever. So made me really happy.
What? My first campaign ever was for Diesel Jeans and in like my favorite mall that I used to work in Toronto called Yorkdale. I went and I handed in my resume at Sephora. I didn't get the job, which little, you know, promo for Sephora because now my products are in Sephora, which I'm so obsessed with. But when I did my first campaign, I had the biggest billboard in that mall that I used to work in. So like that vibe of like
Full circle.
Full circle. It's yeah. in the town, the city that you're from. It's
you're like, that's cool. a specific billboard. When I said I wanted to be on billboards, I was thinking of that one.
That one.
Yeah, yeah. That's how it was for me,
I too. I love that for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. We'll be right back after this break.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
You may have heard of the podcast Juicy Scoop. Wondered what it is? Why aren't you listening? Well, I'm its host, created it, been doing it for 7 years. I'm Heather McDonald of Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald. Now, I could tell you why you should be listening to my show, but my listeners wanted to write the ad for me, and here are some of the things they said. Not your regular Juicy podcast. Catch up on all the juicy topics from Hollywood and pop culture to true crime and beyond. Heather McDonald's Juicy Scoop always has great guests, great laughs, and great gossip. It's a comedian's take on the hottest headlines. Juicy Scoop is the pop culture news you want to hear. No BS, no filter, no filler. Raw, real, and in the moment. Throw in the hilarity of amazing comedians that you will instantly be obsessed with, a juicy crime story, and a dash of normal life in LA moments, and you've got yourself an amazing week of Juicy Scoop. Two episodes every week, every Tuesday and Thursday. It will never let you down.
Welcome back to High Low with Emrata. And here's Paloma talking. She was just on last month talking. She had a book launch, actually, that I wasn't able to make, and I'm pretty bummed. But my friend Adjua grabbed me a copy, so I'm excited for that. But here's Paloma.
Plus size modeling has existed for a very, very, very long time. Like, it is a billion-dollar business. It has existed forever. But the intersection or the invitation or the kind of response in fashion wasn't happening. And I think timing was really on my side in a way, because there was tons of girls that were like making changes, but it was like there wasn't, to fashion's understanding, like a girl like me.
On who, the runway. Or
yeah, or, yeah. On the, or just like in the space, you know? So it was like, because I'd never up until that point even oriented or understood what like being a commercial girly was. I was like literally like in a dirty hoodie, like at like a bad after hours, and
right.
You know what I mean, like that. But I think
you were too cool to be commercial.
That's the way that it was like positioned, and that's the way that I was like more understood, and that's kind of what happened. And it ended up working to my benefit in some way, because I feel like it was also an era at which models were finally being given a moment to, you know. I also want to call out that like it was just that there was a lot of us speaking up. And I want to call out that it's historically for FN's been talking for, you know, 30, 40 years at this point. Like there's models have always had a voice, but it felt that at the time in the age of Instagram, all these things that were happening, that there was more of us.
Mm-hmm.
There was more of us.
I mean, I always think about if I hadn't had the internet in the way that I did, I wouldn't have had a career, because I was able to say to people, no, this is how I see myself, and this is, mm-hmm. and you have to see me this way. I wasn't just waiting for some agent to be like, oh, I get it. You know, you build the image, you build.
Yeah.
And
then, you also got, you build the esteem totally. Around knowing like what it is. Like actually, you may think I need to do it this way, but it also works this way. Why don't mm-hmm. I just do, I mean, there was a lot of that like push and pull with my first team. Like, they really had a very prescriptive kind of like commercial plus size version of like what I should and shouldn't be doing. And I was like, that's literally not why I'm here.
It's amazing that you have always been brave enough to be authentic, because when I think it's a classic like early 20s mistake of you have all these people who are telling you that they know better than you, and right. you kind of are like, oh shit, I guess I shouldn't be my authentic self because it's like too complicated or too messy. And now the world's shifted so much. It's like the more unique you are, the more specific, kind of the more likely you are to have any sort of career. And I'm speaking about in the entertainment industry and in modeling and fashion. Mm-hmm. And here is just somebody who continues to crush it, which I think I actually said to her in March, Hari Neff. She's walked like 4 shows this fashion week. And I love her POV on fashion because I think she has a good distance from it while also being kind of at the center. She just did a Pop magazine cover and again, like watched 4 shows, which is a very big deal in the fashion world. There were so many skinny girls on the runway this season, and about how fashion brands tried to cover diversity even though they had no body diversity. And I was laughing because I was like, it's 100% true. And then there was a Cut article like 3 days later basically on that. And I was like, has somebody hacked Hari's private Twitter and like is stealing ideas for?
I actually, there are a couple like journalists who follow me who are like mutuals, but also like it's kind of people that I haven't hung out with. I may or may not have done like a mini reaping the other day of just like, you're not interacting with the posts and I feel like you're just kind of reading them and it's like, no shade, you're really cool. But sometimes you just gotta like kick a couple people off the private account.
Oh,
and like
that sometimes, yeah.
Like change your picture, change your handle. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it.
Well, they're stealing your talent, your vibes.
Well, I mean,
Their vibe curation.
I actually don't think anybody stole anything, but it's just sort of like, yeah, I noticed on the runways that. And actually, I saw something on Twitter today, like the top 5 walkers of the season were all women of color. And I think 3 out of the 5 of them were very tall, gorgeous, thin, dark-skinned black girls, mm-hmm. You know, with natural hair. And like, you know, for that to be kind of like the girls who are walking the most shows, that's kind of fab.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fab, actually, because I remember I used to follow these things on the Fashion Spot when I was like a little Live Journal teenage nerd. And like the top walkers of the season, they used to walk like 70 shows. Now they only walk like 30. And it was just like all white Russian girls. And
of
so
course.
One step forward, 2 steps back. I think the body thing, it's not really my battle to fight or my thing to speak out on from personal experience, but it really did feel like there was a moment happening where there was body diversity, but mm-hmm. at the best shows, it didn't feel like a stunt. It just felt like these girls are the girl and they fit it.
Yes.
And they just happen to be mid-size or plus size. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was a scaling back this season. Thin is in, Y2K, hip bones. I mean,
We've walked shows together and I'm curious, you were talking about like just being a person as an actor and actress, like just who wants to work and whatever. But with fashion, it is sort of about what you represent. Like that is, it is just one, this very kind of surface level thing. And I always think about that because people ask me about fashion and about diversity and about how meaningful it is. And, you know, a lot of times I point to the fact that most fashion companies are still, or almost all of them are ultimately run and owned by white men. So the diversity doesn't really, whatever. But when we're talking about beauty standards and we're talking about whatever, fashion is surface level. It is about the look. It is about what you're saying is beautiful or cool. How does that feel? Like, do you hate that or do you kind of like it? I mean, because when we walked J.W. Anderson together, you fucking got in character. I watched you. You were like, okay, this is who she is. And then you gave it to me. And I swear to God, my walk was better because I was in character because of you. And when you did like 9 shows in September or something?
Yeah, I did. Very unexpectedly.
I'm happy. I love it.
I love it too. I mean, that's the thing that I like about runway. I like it so much better than sitting front row. Because when you're doing runway, you are playing a character. And it's not actually just about how you look. It's about how is this person going to walk into the room wearing these clothes? And the fact that there is that gesture of personality and attitude that exists almost exclusively in a runway show, unless you're doing like, you know, a fashion film. Remember fashion films? Anyway, the body in motion through the clothes, I think, is what liberates you from just feeling stuck in the look. When you're sitting front row at a show, it's you're you.
Yeah.
But it's like not you. You're in an outfit that more often than not was chosen for you, or you chose from 5 options and they've got your name on the list and they're just like, oh, where does she belong? And that judgment process is never really made by people who know you. Mm-hmm. I don't really think the designers consult on that. Unless...
Well, you're not a part of the production in any way. No. And in the vision, you're, you know, representing kind of yourself, and there'll be, it's like going to an event. It doesn't feel like you're a part of the show.
I like to be a part of the show.
And here's one from Ireland Baldwin, who isn't participating in Fashion Week, but I think, you know, she also has worked as a fashion model, particularly in LA, and I liked some of the things she had to say.
So I think, like, yes, I was born into it. I wanted to be a doctor for a very long time, and I thought I was going to be a vet. I thought I was going to be a doctor. I thought I was going to do a lot of things before I settled and decided to model, because modeling was sort of something that just was so easy when I was young because of my mom, because getting my foot in that door. And once you're making money like that, you kind of ask yourself, really? You think I'm going to go to school for 7 years and do anything else? Like, hell no, you know? So I loved it. I mean, I had like being that young at 16, 17, 18 and making money like that, you know, it feels good to be able to move out and get your own place. And, you know, regardless of how you got there, you kind of feel pretty rooted. And, you know, I don't know, like I definitely tried that. And the fashion industry is a tough one. And I had great experiences. I had horrendous experiences. But modeling definitely was something that I kind of realized right before COVID, that unless I could really kind of pick and choose and work with brands and work with people that I really admire and love and use that platform for good, I just didn't really want to be involved in it anymore.
Welcome back to High Low with Emrata. All right, so like I mentioned, you know, the shows are, I really prefer walking them to attending, because I just think it's like, it is a job, and the show does serve a purpose in the fashion industry. And it feels much better to me to be walking the show, because I feel like I'm really working, whereas sitting while being there as an influencer and as a celebrity is like important to the industry. It just feels less kind of functional, I guess. And there is, you're less a part of it. And I do really prefer walking, but as so many people on the internet like to point out, I am short. And somebody, I think, called me, I don't know what word they used. It wasn't chubby, but it was like something like chunky. I was like, Jesus Christ, man, like the world we live in, because I don't think I'm chunky. Like, I'm pretty skinny. But compared to a lot of these 5'10", very, very thin models, I am not the typical runway height and shape. And I have to say that I just like am very happy. I had a moment the other night. I was so exhausted from doing these shows. And I was like, you know what? It's cool that at 32 years old, I'm not 19, I'm not 5'10". All these designers, all these agents like told me like, you'll never walk shows. And there's something really cool about witnessing the industry change, and also just on a personal level, kind of like making things that seemed impossible come true. It's always exciting for me to do that in Fashion Week. And also, if you've read my book, you know about my fraught relationship with VS, rejected several times. So now to be called an icon by them and to watch kind of them have to change their branding to meet the changing industry, and like to accept that, you know, models are actual full people and personalities, has been really cool. I'm happy to have witnessed that. Fashion world obviously still has a very, very long way to go. But I think as far as representation, it's doing much better. All right. Thank you all so much for listening. I want to hear your thoughts on all of it. I do a third episode every week, Talk Back. I listen and play back your voice notes. So obviously, please, you know, respond to this episode. I feel like there were a lot of good nuggets from various interviews. And even if you just want to like ask some questions about what Fashion Month has been like for me, I'm happy to answer more specifically. Go to hilo.fm or call into the hotline 42-HILO-4. If you're listening through Spotify, you can always go to the Q&A feature in the app. We also check YouTube for the comments. Also, please check out our YouTube videos. It's really nice to have the videos up, and I love hearing from all of you in those comments. Thank you so much for listening. And if you want to subscribe and be a part of that Talk Back episode, go to Apple Podcasts or to hilo.fm to listen every Thursday.
And again, don't forget to join in on the conversation on any social media using the hashtag #HiLo. #HiLo with Imrata is a Sony Music Entertainment and Bitch Era Media production. Our executive producers are me, Emily Ratajkowski, Matt Raz, and Sarita Wesley. Our showrunner is Matt Raz. Our associate producer is Rachel Choder. Today's episode was engineered by Samantha Gatzik with original music by The Crystal Pharaoh.